Hi, this is Linda Marsman. I'm from Bridgewater, New Jersey. We're in the Bible today. The date is August 3rd, 2017, and I look forward to enjoying it together. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you so much, Linda, and welcome to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are reading through the Bible. That's something we do every day. We take a little time in God's Word. We let God's Word take a little time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, hey, I am once again coming to you from the third floor of the admin building here in Zarephath, New Jersey. And we are so enjoying our time here, enjoying the people, enjoying the whole shooting match here in our time in the Garden State. And I have yet to go put my foot into the Atlantic Ocean, but Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to do that too. But today, before any foot gets put in the ocean, I think we ought to place our feet into the Word of God, and we're going to do that in the book of Nahum, chapters 1 through 3, and then we'll finish our reading in John's Gospel, chapter 5. We are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we jump right in here? Nahum, chapter 1. This message concerning Nineveh came as a vision to Nahum, who lived in Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous God, filled with vengeance and rage. He takes revenge on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies. The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm, the billowing clouds and the dust beneath his feet. At his command, the oceans dry up and the rivers disappear. The lush pastures of Bashan and Carmel fade and the green forest of Lebanon wither. In his presence, the mountains quake and the hills melt away. The earth trembles and its people are destroyed. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. But he will sweep away his enemies. In an overwhelming flood, he will pursue his foes into the darkness of night. Why are you scheming against the Lord? He will destroy you with one blow. He won't need to strike twice. His enemies, tangled like thorn bushes, are staggering like drunks, will be burned up like dry stubble in a field. Who is this wicked counselor of yours who plots evil against the Lord? This is what the Lord says. Though the Assyrians have many allies, they will be destroyed and disappear. Oh, my people, I have punished you before, but I will not punish you again. Now I will break the yoke of bondage from your neck and tear off the chains of Assyrian oppression. And this is what the Lord says concerning the Assyrians in Nineveh. You will have no more children to carry on your name. I will destroy all the idols in the temples of your gods. I am preparing a grave for you because you are despicable. Look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He is bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed. Nahum chapter 2. The Fall of Nineveh. Your enemy is coming to crush you, Nineveh. Man the ramparts, watch the roads, prepare your defenses, call out your forces. Even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore its honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of branches, but he will restore its splendor. Shields splash red in the sunlight. See the scarlet uniforms of the valiant troops. Watch as their glittering chariots move into position, with a forest of spears waving above them. The chariots race recklessly along the streets and rush wildly through the squares. They flash like firelight and move as swiftly as lightning. The king shouts to his officers. They stumble in their haste, rushing to the walls to set up their defenses. The river gates have been torn open. The palace is open to collapse. Nineveh's exile has been decreed, and all the servant girls mourn its capture. They moan like doves and beat their breasts in sorrow. Nineveh is like a leaking water reservoir. The people are slipping away. Stop, stop, someone shouts, but no one even looks back. Loot the silver, plunder the gold. There's no end to Nineveh's treasures, its vast, uncounted wealth. Soon the city is plundered, empty and ruined. Hearts melt and knees shake. The people stand aghast, their faces pale and trembling. Where now is that great Nineveh, that den filled with young lions? It was a place where people like lions and their cubs walked freely and without fear. The lion tore up meat for his cubs and strangled prey for his mate. He filled his den with prey, his caverns with plunder. I am your enemy, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Your chariots will soon go up in smoke. Your young men will be killed in battle. Never again will you plunder conquered nations. The voices of your proud messengers will be heard no more. Nahum chapter 3. What sorrow awaits Nineveh? The city of murder and lies. She is crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whips, the rumble of wheels, horses' hooves pound, and the chariots clatter wildly. See the flashing swords and the glittering spears as the charioteers charge past. There are countless casualties, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumble over them. All this because Nineveh, the beautiful and faithless city, mistress of deadly charms, enticed the nations with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enchanting people everywhere. I am your enemy, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and now I will lift your skirts and show all the earth your nakedness and shame. I will cover you with filth and show the world how vile you really are. All who see you will shrink back and say, Nineveh lies in ruins. Where are the mourners? Does anyone regret your destruction? Are you any better than the city of Thebes, situated on the Nile River, surrounded by water? She was protected by the river on all sides, walled in by water. Ethiopia and the land of Egypt gave unlimited assistance. The nation of Put in Libya were among her allies, yet Thebes fell, and her people were led away as captives. Her babies were dashed to death against the stones of the streets. Soldiers threw dice to get Egypt's officers and servants. All their leaders were bound in chains, and you, Nineveh, will also stagger like a drunkard. You will hide for fear of the attacking enemy. All your fortresses will fall. They will be devoured like the ripe figs that fell into the mouths of those who shake the trees. Your troops will be as weak and helpless as women. The gates of your land will be opened up wide to the enemy and set on fire and burned. Get ready for the siege. Store up water. Strengthen the defenses. Get into the pits to trample clay and pack it into molds, making bricks to repair the walls. But the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you down. The enemy will consume you like locusts, devouring everything they see. There will be no escape. Even if you multiply like swarming locusts, your merchants have multiplied until they outnumbered the stars. But like a swarm of locusts, they strip the land and fly away. Your guards and officials are also like swarming locusts that crowd together in their hedges on a cold day. But like locusts that fly away when the sun comes up, all of them will fly away and disappear. Your shepherds are asleep, O Assyrian king. Your princes lie dead in the dust. Your people are scattered across the mountains with no one to gather them together. There is no healing for your wound. Your injury is fatal. All who hear of your destruction will clap their hands for joy. Where can anyone be found who has not suffered from your continual cruelty? John chapter 5. Jesus heals a lame man. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?"
"I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me."
Jesus told him,
"Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.' Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, and thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will be truly astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is actually not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so that you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while because of his message, but I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. And you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say?" Now may the one whom Moses wrote about give his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.
Is God's love in you? Do you have God's love in you? If we don't, we may look like we're pious, we may seem religious, but we will have missed God altogether. Verse 41 says, Jesus is talking here. He says, your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. Jesus has just told them that you search these scriptures hoping to find eternal life, but you might want to start with your heart. Well, he didn't say that last part, I did. We might want to start by searching our heart and asking ourselves the question, do we have God's love within us? You can point to Moses, your connection to God through Moses, your genealogical connection to the faith, but Moses is pointing to your heart too. Moses and his law say, let my light shine, a light on your heart. And that light will expose brokenness. It will expose sin. It'll expose our need. That light reveals that we don't have the answer, but God does. Moses will shine the light on your heart and then point you to God's answer. And that answer isn't you. It isn't your efforts. It isn't your performance or piety or your position. No, the answer is the love of God revealed to us in Christ. The love of God in your hearts. That's the answer. We must receive this gift so God can find what He's looking for in your hearts, His love. And that love will make all the difference. Then your approval by Jesus is guaranteed because He put that love there. And we can't give what we don't have, but when we have that, when we have His love, well, that's what we can offer this hurting world. So Jesus says, do you have God's love in your heart? Well, the prayer of my heart today is that I will receive that love revealed to me in Christ this very day, and that I will rest in the love that's offered to me, that's offered to my family, and that we will all receive the abundance of His joy, the confidence of His approval, and the life that He alone can give. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, and my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's home base out here in the interwebs, and it's always great to hear from you. It was great to connect with a number of you last night at one of the meetings that we were here attending at Zarephath, and man, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm hoping that this upcoming day I'll be able to partake in a different kind of blessing, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. Man, I am wanting to see the ocean. And I talked to a brother just yesterday, and he was telling me, Hunter, the water temperature couldn't be any better. So, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be dipping my toes into the great Atlantic Ocean here not too long from now. And, man, I'll post some pictures on Facebook and share some of the joys with you. Hey, speaking of sharing things, would you share the app with your friends? We made it so simple. All you have to do is click on the link there that says share the app and pass it on to your friends. And I'm just saying that because I know that there are people out there who are hungry for the Word of God. And God has placed His love in their hearts, and they don't know it yet. They need reminded of it, just like you do, just like I do every day. And that's why we gather here. That's why this podcast exists, so that we can remind each other in Christ that we are loved. So share the message, my friend. Well, hey, I'm going to cut it short here. You know the routine. You know the things that we need here at the Daily Radio Bible. You know our hearts. You know how to connect. And so let's go out and enjoy this day. Until another day, until tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be there meeting with you. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you, me, we are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.